So, brethren, I recently heard a statement that stuck with me in such a way that I just couldn't get it out of my head. And I'm sure this happened to many of us. You hear something and it stings in there and it just triggers you over and over again. The statement that I heard was, to err is human, to forgive divine. To err is human, to forgive divine, which is the title of today's message. I heard it before and it never really stuck with me much, but this time it intrigued me. And so, of course, I had to do a little research, find out where it came from and what the core message was. And this is a statement that was coined 300 years ago by a famous English poet by the name of Alexander Pope. And it was his attempt to describe the frailty of human judgment. And so most people will hear this phrase and they use it to justify their mistakes or to suggest that forgiveness is something that is nice, but it's a difficult thing to do. To err is human, to forgive divine is a simple, yet has a very profound statement there. Hearing these words during this time of self-examination, I realized that the statement it's catchy, but it also scratches at the surface of our spiritual journey. For the world, to err is just a mistake, and to forgive is just a choice. But for those of us who are called into God's truth, the statement can carry a very deeper meaning. To err can imply the presence of sin, which of course leads to death, and forgiveness is a miraculous divine act that requires the very lifeblood of our Creator, Jesus Christ. So today I wanted to use this simple expression as a point of reference for examining our preparation for the Passover. Let us consider here today the reality of our human sin, the struggle of our self-examination, and the divine gift of the new covenant. And so, brethren, we're going to start with the first half of this statement. When the world says to err is human, they are essentially saying nobody's perfect. But the Bible gives us a much more sobering definition of what it means to live in this human condition. It's not just that at our core we are good people and sometimes we stumble and fall short. But rather, at our core, we are sinners. This is the biblical reality of the human side of this quote. Our natural heart is not just prone to mistakes, it is enmity against God, as Romans 8:7 tells us. Even if after we repent and are baptized, even after we receive God's Holy Spirit, we can wander off the path, allowing sin to creep back into our lives. And this concept of erring can be translated as wandering or going astray. And it reminded me of a verse in Isaiah 53, verse 6. You don't need to turn there. I'll share it with you. Isaiah 53, 6 tells us, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This verse highlights that straying isn't just selective. It's not something that just happens here or there. It is a universal human tendency to wander from a path of righteousness. This is why we are commanded during the Passover to self-examine. But the process doesn't just end there. Brethren, it's no coincidence that the Passover is followed by the days of unleavened bread. We are called to put out the leaven. But why? Why is it so important to clean our homes, our cars, and to watch what we eat and put in our mouths? Is it because leaven? It is because that leaven is a perfect example, a physical example of our spiritual reality. And it reflects the human tendency to err or to sin. It always starts with something small, and it often is hidden, if it's left alone and unchecked, it can then eventually take over our lives. As we examine ourselves and our homes, we must recognize there's a deeper meaning to the process. The process of looking for that old leaven should be acknowledged as a spiritual training for our daily walk with Christ. If we are following the process correctly, then we should be able to seek out the old crumbs that remain in the hidden areas of our heart. Let us turn to our first scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Here we find a very familiar passage. It's read all the time during the Passover and unleavened bread. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. It says, therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. As part of our human journey, we must acknowledge that left to our own devices, we are leavened. We have leavening in our hearts, in our minds, in our DNA. It's something we struggle with every day. We are sinners and we have all fallen short. We cannot simply try harder to be unleavened and to remove the leavening. It requires spiritual assistance from our brother and our father, our brother Jesus Christ and our Father. We have to identify the sin. We have to acknowledge that it is part of our fallen nature. And we have to realize that our errors are actually transgressions against God's holy law. The Passover begins our journey with this humble admission. We are human. We err every day, and we are in desperate need of a Savior. This is our human struggle. And the second point we shall now consider. Brethren, if to err is human, then the natural human response to those errors is self-justification. We see this all the way back into the Garden of Eden. When Adam erred, he blamed Eve. When Eve erred, she blamed the serpent. Our struggle with sin is rarely about being ignorant of the law. We know the law. But it's the battle to honestly face ourselves and our sins within our lives. This is our human struggle, and stands at the core of the Passover preparation. 1 Corinthians 11:28 says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." This examination is where the struggle takes place. If we are not struggling, then we are not doing it right. The struggle is the bitter herbs of our spiritual preparation. The bitter herbs were not just a side dish. They were commanded to be a part of the Passover meal. They were there to provoke a physical reaction and remembrance of the bondage in Egypt. And we are living in our own Egypt, in a captive world filled with sin. To examine ourselves is to look in the mirror of God's word and to see where we have gone astray. This process should prick our hearts and lead us to action. If we are studying God's word, if we are praying and fasting and attending services, yet we are not growing, then we are not doing it right. Let's turn to James chapter 1, verse 23. James chapter 1 and verse 23. James chapter 1 and verse 23. Another one of these verses that is always used during Passover and unleavened bread. James 1:23 warns us, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." Brethren, that's the human way. The human way is to look at our sins, feel a moment of guilt, and then forget so we can feel better about ourselves. We tend to see our reflection and then we walk away. But the divine way, the way of a Christian, is to stare deeply into that mirror until we can see our flaws and are moved to repentance, to become doers and not just hearers. We struggle because we want to hold on to the old man, the music, the movies, the world, which is the leaven that leads us away from God if we're not careful. But this is the core warning for us. We cannot look in the mirror and see a smudge on our face and walk away without wiping it off. The mirror provides us with the insight, which should be a call for us to change. If we have been truly convicted, if we've repented, this struggle should break our pride and prepare our hearts to truly value the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so finally, brethren, we move to the second half of this statement. To forgive is divine. To forgive is divine. In the world's eyes, forgiveness is regarded as an important social virtue. But in God's plan, forgiveness is a legal and a spiritual necessity, and it comes with a great price. Human forgiveness is often conditional and temporary. But divine forgiveness, the kind we celebrate at Passover, is total and transforming. Psalm 103:12 tells us, As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. But how is this possible? It is because a divine life was given for our human life. That is at the heart of the Passover. We take the wine representing the blood of the new covenant and the bread representing the body of broken for us. We are acknowledging that while our erring was human, our rescue was entirely divine. When we take these symbols, we aren't just remembering a historical event. We are renewing the covenant that we have entered into at baptism. We are accepting a divine gift that allows us to move past our human failures. Let's turn to our final scripture in Hebrews 8, verse 12. Hebrews 8, verse 12. This gives us the ultimate promise of this divine forgiveness. It reminds us of this promise. Hebrews 8, verse 12. Hebrews 8, verse 12. It says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." In this verse, we find twofold promises of divine grace. It says, "For I will be merciful." Brethren, this is mercy is not just an absence of punishment. It is the active compassion of God towards those who have missed the mark. And he continues, he says, "In their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more." This is perhaps one of the most comforting phrases in the entire Bible. When God says he will remember no more, it doesn't mean he has a lapse of memory. Rather, it is a legal decree. He chooses never to bring those sins up again. They are no longer a factor in his relationship with us. The emphasis shifts from the remembrance of sin to the remission of sin. This is the divine nature that we are invited to partake in. But as we are forgiven by God, we are then empowered by his Spirit to extend that divine forgiveness to our brothers and sisters. If we cannot forgive those who have erred against us, we have not truly understood the magnitude of the forgiveness we are about to receive at the Passover. And so, brethren, in the end, the saying to err is human, to forgive divine is more than just a clever phrase. It is, in a sense, a story of our lives and the heart of the Passover. We come acknowledging our humanity and our weakness and our needs, but we leave rejoicing in a forgiveness that did not originate with us, but with God himself. As we examine ourselves and prepare for the Passover, may we never lose sight of this truth. Our errors reveal our need, but God's forgiveness reveals his love. So then, brethren, let us approach the Passover humbled by our humanity, yet filled with gratitude for the divine mercy that makes reconciliation possible. As we prepare for the Passover, let us examine ourselves honestly. Let us repent deeply and approach the Passover with a heart of gratitude, knowing that while our erring is human, our forgiveness is truly divine.